Do you think that society has changed a lot? I mean, have you seen a lot of change in society from...
I see a lot of selfishness now.
Yeah.
I see... Well, there's always selfishness. But I think until people can set themselves aside, put aside the griefs, people have problems with their brothers and their sisters and sisters with sisters. People aren't talking. People aren't able to say to their sister or their brother, look, you have this thing that it really annoys me and it turns me off from the love I have for you. I have a love for you, but you don't want me to. You don't want me to do that because you keep giving me this nudge, which is your idiosyncrasy that's hard to take. And hope that they will hear that. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that came to me today. I've said to her, "You have been living a selfish life." I mean, you say this to a friend. You've been living a selfish life. You need to get out of yourself. You need to forgive your boys. You have sons that want to love you, but you're turning them off for your whining and for your needs. I'm a friend, and these are the things only a friend will tell you. If they're a friend, they will tell you. If they're a brother or sister and have a friendly feeling to you, they are going to say to you, please, don't be so selfish. Think of other people. Think of other people instead of yourself. It may take, it may not take, but they're going to think about it. I said, when you see your son again, love your son. I've lost a child. You don't want that to happen, that you had this anger and animosity for this child. Don't have an animosity or an anger or anything that can stand between you and a brother or a child, your child, or a sister or a mother. So your mother wasn't perfect. So your father wasn't perfect. My father wasn't perfect. I have a hard time because my father was hard on my mother, and my mother was an angel. So naturally, I have hard feelings. But I forgive him, and I don't want to talk about him. My husband, I loved him. He doesn't know how to love. He didn't know how to be a father to my children. The hardest thing in the world is to think that you were loved and now you know that in that way you were not loved. Because his mother told him that when he married, he just changed bedrooms and got bedroom privileges. And I think that was a horrible thing to tell a young man. So a lot is in upbringing, how you're taught, what your family thinks about things is how you're, what you hear and what you learn. You have to be able to say to yourself, hey, that's crap. If you can't say to yourself, wait a minute, my mother's off on this. I don't want to feel that way. I want to love my wife. I want to love my children. Because some of the teachings that you get from your parents keep you from being a father, keep you from being a husband, keep you from being a good brother even, and not selfish, not greedy, not egotistical, and not wanting to talk about only your own interests. I mean, however boring is that? It's terribly boring. But when you start talking about what you're doing for others, people are interested.
Well, I'm very interested in what you're talking about, you know. And I know that... Saoirse will be very interested in hearing this when she is able to understand.
God, my baby girl, she's such a joy to me at this point in my life. She's Elizabeth all over. Elizabeth was...
Tell me about Elizabeth.
Elizabeth
growing up.
Elizabeth, the doctor swung her through, because I was older in 42 or 3 when I had Marilyn.
They probably told you not to. They may have told you not to, right? Back then? I don't know.
I had a chance of having Down syndrome.
Okay, so they knew that.
But the girl down the street, when I lived in Groveland, the girl down the street was half my age, and she had a Down syndrome. I mean, I don't think that's anything that's... Who's going to do it is going to do it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, doctor, I waited 40 years to write the man I wanted to marry. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking forward to having a child when I thought I was... barren. And I find I'm not barren. 3 times I wasn't barren. I had a miscarriage between them, and then I wanted to Marilyn so bad. I wanted my other baby so bad that right away I went to have Marilyn. But Elizabeth, when she came... The doctor wheeled her to me, and the doctor, was singing, "Here she comes, Miss America." He said, "She's one of the most beautiful babies that I have ever delivered." And I said, "Doctor, this is one of the most beautiful people that you will ever deliver." And then 2 or 3 years later, he delivered Marilyn.
I want to ask specifically for Lana right now.
Lana.
Wanted to ask you about Marilyn.
Oh, Marilyn, Marilyn. Marilyn was my second little girl, and I was so glad to have her because the two little sisters together held hands everywhere they went. I tried to dress them alike. Not they weren't twins, but they were adorable sailor dresses that my sister made. My sister sewed. My mother sewed robes for them. They were just sweet, sweet, sweet little girls together. And wherever they went, they sat together, they held hands together. When I was teaching them knitting when they were little, they sat on the couch and were trying to knit like this. And Marilyn was a wonderful girl. She just loved people, too. And she became a massage therapist. And she was a... holistic healer.
Yeah.
And just a wonderful girl. And she, I think for my sake, she went into, what do you call old age?
Geriatric.
She wanted to do geriatric massage.
She wanted to do that, and she wanted to do that because you did so much with the elderly as you were growing up or as you were going through life?
Well, I always had a back trouble.
Oh, okay.
I had a severe curvature. In fact, when Elizabeth was born and Marilyn were born, my chiropractor at the time, Dr. Boson in Portsmouth, he said, "You know, Ethel, these children were meant to be born. There's no doubt in my mind because the condition of your back and the strength of, because of your strength of will were they born? Because they wanted to be born, they were meant to be born, and you were the vessel for them to learn how to be. I never forgot that. And I look at them and I thought, they were so worth it. Because it wasn't easy bringing them up with a problem back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm, no.
But oh gosh, they were precious.
But isn't it interesting how they, I mean, they're, your children are truly their own people.
Their own people. And then when Marilyn wanted to marry Kevin Fairbanks, she said, Mom, I love him. I love him so much, she said, that nothing else matters. She said, nothing else matters. And I said, Marilyn, if you love him, then hey, that's what love is all about, unconditional love. And enjoy and do the best you can. Be your massage therapist. Don't give up your life and don't give up who you are. Just be a wife, and if you can be a mother.
Well, I always remember that you wanted to do healing things.
Oh yeah, very healing, very healing. But that's a way of that's a way of spreading this, even the thought of healing. The word healing is a healing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You could say love, healing, charm, but charm and a personality with a heart. That's it.
I mean, your children took after you in many ways, wanting to.
Which is an honor.
It is. I mean, that tells you
which
something.
Which is such an honor, to be proud of your children and your grandchildren as I am, but to have them be proud of me, being not a perfect human really, but having done that kind of a job, because I had the right frame of mind. The right frame of mind, you can do that. If you don't have the right frame of mind, then you're going to screw it. You got to have the right frame of mind. You got to ask for the right frame of mind. If you ask for the right frame of mind, you get it. If you don't ask, you will get some, because that's the way it is. You get some, but you got to, if you ask for it, then you get the full dose.
You all right?
Had enough?
Almost.
Okay.
Not quite.
Okay.
I mean, you were just telling me, I don't feel like we got enough chance to really even get into detail about, like, your entire life. But, I mean, how can you really do that?
No, you can't, because I've had a big one.
Yeah.
I've had a big one, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. But I didn't stay stuck. That's the thing about, if I was in a no-go-anywhere job,
mm-hmm.
I always found something else before I left it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I wanted to be secure, have a job, and I always wasn't afraid to move. I remember taking jobs that I hadn't got a clue about. And my friends would say to me, how can you do that? You don't have a clue. You never played worked on a computer in your life. I'll learn.
You want to learn as you go plan?
I'll learn. They said, isn't it going to be hard? I mean, I can't do it, and I got one right here. But I did. I learned it. I made more friends. I remember one of those jobs. I think this is important to say.
Okay.
I worked for this lady who worked for this man. I worked for her, but she worked for him. And he was the controller. And he had his children in Christian schools. And I was very hesitant to say anything to him because he was so sure about his Christianity and the way his children, what they should learn, that I was always, you know, I said, geez, I hope he never talks to me and asks me anything like that. Talk about the job, but...
Right.
Well, he and I will move to another facility. So I was there doing accounts payable and running errands and stuff around the building and everything. And he was way like on the other side of a factory building. I mean, he was really quite a way away. It's his desk. Until one day, it was so interesting because they were hiring somebody. And I wasn't into that at all, but I heard what he was saying. He was having a big issue because they were gay.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, I had this feeling come over me that he was going to talk to me about this. And I thought, oh, God, give me the words because, I mean, I don't want to lose the job, and I don't want him to preach at me either, because I know what I believe, and I know who I am. I know who I am. But don't let him bring on this gay thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, he was arguing out here with the gay. I don't want them because they're gay. I don't want them. And the two of them, don't hire the both of them because they're both gay. And we don't know what. Oh, I thought, oh, God, how nauseating is that? And I'm thinking, oh, God, forgive you, Lloyd, for being like that. And eventually now I'm into my work, fluffling papers, doing accounts payable. Hello, I'm on the phone. I was just trying to be too busy.
Right.
He went up to his desk. He came back down. He came back. He was fighting with this question, and he wanted to pose it to me. I said, I got God on my side. He doesn't know this, but I got God on my side, right? He came down to my desk, and he said, you know, Ethel, I really am interested in what you think about this whole business. And I said, what whole business, Lloyd? What whole business? And he said, you know, this gay thing. I said, well, you know, Lloyd, number one, there but for the grace of God go I. But secondly, I was taught in my house and in the Bible, although I'm not probably as versed as you are in the Bible, Lloyd, but you surely have read, do not judge. I'm the judge. Do not judge. And you know, I can't hear them.
I'll tell you. Do you have a new nurse?
Novak.
That's who'll be here. Changing the guards.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. You were just telling me what you were telling this fella about.
I told him. And you know, look, you know, Steve, I thought, oh, God, let it be enough. I'm praying the whole time. God, be my words. Give me the words. I always do this if I have to face something difficult. It shouldn't be my words. I don't want it to be my words, which could sound like, I don't know. But I want it to be what will help that person the most. What do you want Lloyd to hear from me? And Lloyd said, oh. I said, that's what I teach my children, Lloyd. Don't judge others by what you think. It's by what God thinks that you can even come close to making a decision on that. These are your brothers. he went back to his desk, and I don't know if we ever had another conversation.
Oh, really? Ever?
Well, business.
Okay, but he was getting...
But that was all.
Yeah.
And I felt, okay, I did what I should do.
It sounds like it.
I said, you know, and I went right back to work.
Yeah. That's good.
You can use every single instance in your life, whether you're in the grocery store, or you're in... Or you're in hospice. You can be who you are. You can be the best of who you are till the day that you're not here. And then, hopefully, I'll live again. And I will be even better.
Hold on a moment. A couple of other things. Is there anything that you want to, I mean, I'm sure that you can tell anybody, you know, but I'm sure you're going to get a chance to see whoever you're going to see, you know, soon, and you'll be able to tell them whatever you want, you know, but is there anybody that you want to say something to that you want me to share with them, you know, after, later on, that you're not going to be able to, you know, is there anything that you want to say that you want me to share or send later? I don't know if there's anything like that or if you even think about
that. I just want you to tell everybody that I love them. Okay. I want everybody to know that wherever I am, whether I'm here or with God, those are the only two places to be. With people you love, respect. Make sure that you're with people that you love and respect, and who respect you. And don't let other people pull you down. Don't let other people influence you with their way of life or with whatever. Choose the good in life, because there's so much good. And if you choose the good, then you are good, because you convey good. And that's what my grandchildren, I want them to know, that you are the way you live. If you're selfish, you don't get to do the things that I've done. Take chances in life. Don't be afraid and ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. But always ask for a right attitude. Ask for the right attitude. Lean on having a right attitude. And then if you're a gardener, you're a gardener. If you're a minister or a priest or whatever you are, be the best you can be. But it isn't you that you want to live about. You want to live a life as a channel for good. That's it. Live a life of channeling good. Whether you have a short life or a nice one like I've had of 84 years.